Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Y'all, we are behind the scenes, and I am here with Mr. Dan Hink. I got to tell you, I had a good time during this interview. He had me laughing about the tattoo story. If you listen to the podcast, you'll get the story, okay? Listen, tune in on Tuesday at the Bashani Radio app so you can hear the story for the tattoo. He dropped straight gems in this interview. I loved the experience. It was something that was very out of the box for me, but I got so much out of it. So I know you're going to get a lot out for you. But y'all know how I am. I like to do my behind the scenes. I like to be a little nosy, y'all. Y'all know how this goes. So y'all know I like to give my little set of questions, talk about them, get to know a lot more about our guests. All right, question one, the book that has been inspiring you. What's the book that's inspired you in your life?
I think that it's kind of hard because I've read so many books and there are so many really good ones. But I really like At the Mouths of Madness by H.P. Lovecraft. It's more of a novella than a full book, but I've read all of his stuff, and that's one of his longer works, and that's also one of his later works. His stuff got more fluid and better as it went along. I like Richard Matheson. He wrote I Am Legend, which they've tried to make into a movie 3 times and they really haven't succeeded. Like, the book is so much better. I really like the book American Psycho, which again they made into a movie. The movie is not that bad, but the book is way better than the movie. Let's see, who else? Neil Gaiman. Pretty much anything by Neil Gaiman is awesome. And he's one of those guys that he kind of broke into the scene doing Sandman for DC Comics. Mm-hmm. And Sandman was good, but it wasn't like mind-altering, revolutionary. Then he started writing books. And he wrote American Gods. I don't know if you've seen it. They were making TV series out of it. The TV series didn't really capture the book, but the book is good. And then he just got better and better and better. Like, his next one was Neverwhere, which is really awesome. And his latest book that came out, like, he could be talking about a crumpled paper towel. He'd be like, oh, but he has such a way with words. It sounds so elegant. I got to read it. So he's a big influence. So I can go on. I have a bunch of people I can name.
I'm hearing, but this sounds good because it's giving me something new to try. You gave some different ones, so I'm like, okay, check these out.
I think you definitely like Neil Gaiman. Check out Neil Gaiman because he has a really good way with words.
Neil Gaiman. Check out
Neil. It's N-E-I-L, and Gaiman is G-A-I-M-A-N.
Okay. What's your favorite quote? Like, when you think about this is the quote, the saying that really gets you and it helps you to push through the day. What's it?
It's by H.P. Lovecraft. It says, life is indeed comic, but the joke is on mankind.
Ah, that's your signature. Okay. So in our interview, you talked about a lot of things that went on in your early childhood. And I believe that everybody has diamonds they can share or tips they can share. What would be some tips that you would share with parents in raising their babies?
I think, here's the thing. My parents were real conservative and they were real Christian. Like, I had to go to church 4 times a week. And they made me go to a psychiatrist. So the thing is, I don't think that you should, like, just let your kids run wild. Like, I'm sure you've been in stores and, like, wild, crazy kids are running all around. And I don't approve of that. Like, you should rein in your kids a little bit, but encourage their creativity. Whatever they're into, let them be into it. You know, like my parents were all into me drawing and writing until, you know, they're like, well, that's not really a career. It's like, don't impress on people what they have to do with their lives. Like, if they really, like, if they want to be a musician in a band, most bands don't make it, but encourage them to be that musician.
That's a good one. I like that tip because, like you said, everybody has their dream or their vision for their baby, but you got to allow your baby to express themselves.
Yeah.
And live their life and their passion.
Right.
I know we had a bit of a conversation off air about your wife, and it's interesting. You made such an interesting joke about it. I'm not gonna go to the joke, but I want to talk about I want to talk about y'all, this love story that you all have. How did you meet your wife?
I was working in a tattoo place. It was called Cassiopeia. It was in New York City, and she was a counter girl. She could pierce, but they weren't letting her pierce. It was like the owner wasn't really good. It was like so I remember she went somewhere else to pierce. But while she was working there, I remember I had a crush on her, but I'm kind of socially awkward, so I didn't hit on her right away. And then she wanted to get tattooed by me. So the first time I tattooed her, plus there was a little bit of a language barrier, so it's kind of hard to communicate feelings with the language barrier, especially if you're already socially awkward. So I remember I was tattooing her, and as I was tattooing her, she brought her boyfriend. Like, all right, whatever. But she brought her boyfriend. But I guess she figured out that I was trying to talk to her. So then all of a sudden she broke up with her boyfriend.
Wow, that's one heck of a tattoo session.
Well, not in the same, like I tattooed her more than once, but like the first time I met her boyfriend, I guess she kind of figured it out in her head, So then she broke up with him, then we started going out, and we were going out for 3 months, and I came down with brain cancer. And like at that point in time, like, she's staying in my house sometimes, but she doesn't live there, but like we're doing a lot together. So she was staying at my house, and the way brain cancer came on is first I had headaches, I just take Advil and they go away. And then they would come back at night, so I was taking it twice a day. Then I was like, this isn't normal. Like after a week, I still had the headaches. So then I went to a clinic. It was kind of a bad clinic, so I went to get the prescription filled, and they couldn't get a hold of the guy, the doctor, so they had me go to a more expensive clinic. At the time, I'd only been tattooing a couple of years, and I wasn't really making much money, so it was a lot of money. But I was like, oh, okay, so I paid it. They said you're dehydrated. They pumped me full saline solution. They said if you feel worse, give us a call tomorrow. The next day, my girl Monica stayed there, and so. We had Chinese food the night before, but the next morning, like I was like throwing up the Chinese food. It felt like I had a jackhammer to the back of my head. So she took me into the hospital, and I went to Bellevue Hospital. I couldn't even walk straight at that point. Like I was trying to walk straight, but I was walking sideways. Like my balance was still off. So she guided me in there, and I remember they said, "Well, what do you do?" I said, "Well, I do Muay Thai." They said, "Oh, well, it's a brain bleed," and they put me in the CAT scan. They go, "Oh, wait, it's cancer." And then they said, "You actually, it was a slow-growing tumor, so you probably had about 2 weeks before it broke on and you'd be dead." And they said, "We're gonna have to operate on you right away to remove it. It's brain surgery, so you have about a 50-50 chance of making it." And I mean, at that point, I was just like, "Okay." Like to me, it was like, I had this horrible pain. They gave me some medication, so it subsided a little bit. But it was like, at least they know what it is. And meanwhile, she's crying. She's like, "You don't care." I'm like, "Of course I care. What am I gonna do?" So then I had the surgery, and it's weird because when something intense happens in your life like that, you have like this whole group of friends. A lot of them can't handle it. They just drop out. So I had this whole like when I moved to New York, like I kind of immersed myself in like in like the punk rock scene, the music scene, and I was doing a lot of art for bands and stuff. And so I had this whole crew, like we'd go to shows together, we'd do events together. And I remember one of them showed up. One person showed up. But every single day she showed up. Every single day. And she always looked worried. I was like, this is a good person. Like we haven't even been dating that long, She's from a totally different culture, so we don't share that cultural background, but she's a great person, And so I remember after I got out of the hospital, and she said, like their family was getting threatened by terrorists in Colombia, so they were trying to get citizenship based off that, like a political asylum. But it was taking a while, so she's like, I'm gonna marry a friend, to, just to get the green card, and I'll be fine. I'm like, no, you're going out with me. Why don't you marry me? I'm like, if it doesn't work out, I'm not gonna screw you over. So, she's like, oh, are you sure you want to do that? So I married her, and like initially that's why we got married, but then it became a lot more than that. It became way more comprehensive. I mean, keep in mind, I've been going out with her for 3 months when this happened.
That
And I
is
remember,
huge.
yeah, what?
I said that's huge. I
Yeah.
mean, literally, your marriage, your courtship, I should say, was the same time as a warranty for some products, let's be honest. And in this time, she stood where most people, like you said, people fell off and just wouldn't be in place. She stuck and she stayed.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
That's why it's like she's a great person. Obviously, like this is the one for me. So I felt strong about it. Then we got married, like I said. We're both not religious, so we got married at a bar. Like you have to get a priest to come in and officiate the ceremony. But we got married, it was called Motor City Bar. So and I remember she had some Japanese friends, and they spent 6 hours working her. She looked like a geisha with like the white face and everything.
Oh,
And I rented a zusu, so I looked like a gangster, from like old New York or whatever. So I was wearing that. So we were married in those outfits.
wow. Talk about a difference for real. Oh my gosh. Your love story with her sounds so beautiful.
Thank
Oh my gosh. Okay, let me get it together. I'm about to tear up. Let me get it together. Let me get
getting
it together.
all
I
emotional.
did. I did. Listen, I honestly did not expect it to be this deep. Like, you give me such a look here, and then when you open your mouth, I'm like, oh, he got me. He got me good. But that's the beautiful complexity of people. That's why you never judge anything. That's why you have to just get to know the person. And it's the story was just beautiful.
Stereotypes are so stupid because there's no stereotypes that describes a whole group of people. Like you have to take people as people,
I wish everybody would get that. Hello. Like, that's the thing. So for you, in the midst of all this, what's been your biggest mountain? What's been your lowest valley in your life as of today? What's been your biggest mountain?
Well, I don't know about the. They probably kind of go together. Like the biggest mountain has been just always trying to push to get something going with an art career, because it's actually a lot harder than I thought. Like everything seems to be a lot harder than I thought. Like when I wrote my first book, I thought the hard work was going to be writing the book. No, the hard work is getting it published. So then I was shopping it around, and lots of people didn't want to make changes to it, or didn't want to let me do the artwork on it. I'm like, I'm an artist. It doesn't make any sense if I don't do the artwork. I mean, they kind of have that rule for a reason. It's because a lot of authors they hire because they like their writing, and then they have their friend do artwork, and they're like, wait a minute, we like your artwork. We didn't agree to this crappy artwork that you wanted us to put on the cover. Plus, a lot of smaller publishers have their own art team, so they really don't want you stepping on their toes, So, but yeah, so probably the hardest mountain is like always trying to be yourself. Like when I was coming up through the tattoo industry, I remember I did, I went to art school first, so I did fully rendered oil paintings, and then when I started tattooing, it was kind of like it was the 90s, so it was kind of like they were stuck in that mindset of like tattoos need to look a certain way,
Way.
and they're like, oh, you're just a frustrated oil painter. What, you think
Wow.
you're an artist or something? I'm like, well, actually, I do.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, you see, so it's like you kind of, the hardest mountain is kind of like keeping the self-confidence, keep doing what you're doing. And I would say the deepest valley was when my wife died, because, I mean, you always have this naive concept in your head that they're going to be with you forever, and like, I remember it did help me kickstart stuff. Like, it really helped me get out my first novel, because I'm like, life is short. I got to do it now. I mean, I could die tomorrow. But it was pretty hardcore, when she died.
I want to thank you for coming and giving us a different side of you. Like I took some time before we met to kind of just be a little nosy. Let me just tell y'all know I be serious when I say I'm nosy, right? So I went and I did a little digging to see who you were in this way. And I loved it
Uh-oh.
because no, I'm gonna tell you why, because you gave us such a different side of you, and I love the vulnerability in this. So many people are not willing to be vulnerable, and you gave it to us. I mean, let me give it to you how I would say. You gave me what it needed to give. Like you gave it to me.
So, what was your impression of me before you talked to me then?
My impression was I can't wait for this interview. My impression was he's gonna be. I knew that was gonna be a little bit of difference in it, but I love because I was like, he just sounds like he's gonna be that tattoo guy that's gonna be really hard and rough. And then when we
Oh,
talked,
right.
I got somebody so different. I was like, it was really cool because I thought I was gonna get like this rough dude. And I was like, he's not a rough dude. Like as soon as like you hit the camera, I was like, he's not a rough dude. I was like, I didn't get that. I got one perception here, and it's really cool because this gave me other layers to you. So I really enjoyed this conversation. You gave me
Thank you.
a lot, and you really pushed me to step out my box and bring other people on that I may didn't think would fit the format for us. So I'm loving this. So yeah, you pushed my boundaries today. I'm happy about that. That's a good thing. I love that piece. Now, this is so off camera, so off topic right now. If people want to reach out to you to get you to do some work, because I have quite a few people who like to find people to do things out of their box, how would they connect with you?
Probably the best way is my website. Like I put everything on there, like all my drawings, all my paintings, all my tattoos. Well, I put heel tattoos, but it's danhink.com. It's danhink.com. So if you go to that, like I pretty much have everything.
All right, that I will do. So let me click this off.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.